service, and especially the message from God's Word, will be a blessing and a help to you. The Free Presbyterian Church in the city of Armagh commenced in the late summer of 1965, when Dr. Ian Paisley held a great tent mission on Stuart's Hill, at which over 100 souls were converted to Christ. Our church building sits on an elevated site behind the old women's prison overlooking the city, and it was officially opened by Dr. Paisley on Saturday, the 4th of January, 1975. The building is a unique design, and it's built on two levels to take advantage of the sloping site. The church is constructed in brick with round corners. It has a free-standing portal frame and stained glass windows which encircle almost the entire building. In recent years, the church facilities and some of the grounds have been completely refurbished. Please make the live streams of our church services as widely known as possible among your family and friends. We would also ask you to like our church and our broadcasts on our Facebook page. Video recordings of the messages from our services can be found on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. I want to give you a warm invitation to come along and join with us at our church services. We are a family church and a church family, and we would be very pleased if in the future you made our church the spiritual home for your family.
We're very glad to see you at the evening gospel service. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house in the evening meeting again. We appreciate you coming along this evening. We're going to commence the service with that great old gospel hymn, It Was Down at the Feet of Jesus, Oh the Happy, Happy Day, that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. The words will come up on the screen, and again we're keeping our seats as we sing the words of the hymn together, please.
Let's just stand together, please, for the opening prayer. We'll draw aside, draw an eye into the Lord's presence together. Heavenly Father, we do lift our hearts unitedly to Thee at the commencement of our service. We want to come, Father, with praise, with thanksgiving to Thee. We give Thee praise for the opportunity to meet together in Thy house on the evening of Thy day. We thank you, Father, for the gospel service. We remember in a meeting such as this that many of us came to Christ in salvation. We think of the words we've just sung together. It was down at the feet of Jesus. Oh, the happy, happy day that my soul found peace in believing and my sins were washed away. Father, we can lift these words even as our testimony to Thee tonight, and it's our prayer that there be some in our midst that even this very night would come to Christ in salvation. Our prayer, Father, is that you will own this gospel service to the saving of the lost. We want to pray that you'll bless our gospel meetings again as they recommence this evening. Put your hand upon this meeting. May we know the power of God resting upon it. Lord, it's our desire to have an extraordinary meeting. We pray that you would grant that to us. We pray it might be one of those times when the Lord comes down amongst us, when the Lord comes by in a very special and in a very blessed manner. We commit, Father, all of our gospel services to Thee. We're conscious of the importance of meetings such as this. May we never lose sight of that. We pray, Father, for a greater vision for souls, for lost souls. We want to pray, Father, that in these meetings and weeks to come, that a work will be done for eternity. We want to ask, Father, that you'll save in our midst. Lord, we're praying earnestly that it would not be an unusual thing for souls to be saved. We want to pray it will be a regular and a common thing. We pray, Father, that you'd bring us again to those times and to those days when thou art working mightily in salvation blessing. We remember what you did in Philippi those many years ago when the jailer believed in the Lord with all his house. And Lord, we would ask that there'd be homes, families in this city, across this community, that would know that same transforming power of the gospel message amongst them. We want to pray that whole families might be won to Christ. We remember, Father, meetings that are planned for weeks to come. We think of our Children's Day services in 2 weeks' time. Remember your servant that will come to speak. We ask that the hand of God will be upon him, that he'll be an instrument of blessing amongst us. Guide him in the message that he brings. Pray that you'll use him in his ministry across the province, even at this time. Lord, we want to pray for the children. We pray for our young people. And we want to pray that you'll encourage them on. We think of the challenges, the difficulties of these last months, even over a year, when the meetings have not been able to take place. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll bless our children. Remember our Sunday school, and we pray, Father, for the children's meetings, the youth meetings, for the hand of God to be upon them. We pray for guidance to be given for the days ahead. We pray that, Father, you'll be pleased to keep your hand upon the circumstances in the land so that these meetings will be able to recommence and to take place as they did in former times. And Lord, our prayer is that you'd lead these meetings on from strength to strength. We pray that they'll be blessed in the future in an even greater way than they have been in the past. We pray too, Father, for the meetings planned, even the gospel meetings, the Sabbath evenings over the summer, the outreach into this community in obedience to the great commission that we're to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Remember our Saviour, when he was here upon this earth, he went to the next town, to the next village, to proclaim the message of the gospel. And Lord, we pray you'll put your seal upon those meetings. We want to ask that souls will be saved through them. We want to pray that there'll be many visitors that will come in the Sabbath evenings, even over the summer. And Lord, our cry is that guidance and help will be given in all the plans and the preparations. And we prayed, Father, that when the meetings begin, that the power of God might come down even upon them. And Lord, do we ask, remember our sister Joy tonight. We want to bring her before thee there in the land of Nepal. We think, Father, so far away from home and family, even at these times again of lockdown and restriction, spending so much time on her own. And Lord, we ask that you will draw near to her. Pray that she'd know your presence in a very definite way. You've assured us that when we go forth into all the world, that you've promised that you'll be with us always. And we pray our sister will be conscious of the prayers of the Lord's people. Keep her sister in health and in strength. Lord, do remember those in the church that are unwell, those that are so close to Joy and are upon her heart. And Lord, we do remember the situation in India too. That pastor that lost his life, became a martyr for the faith in this past week. Lord, remember the church there, our brother Dipankar, the pastors that he labours with. We pray that you'll watch over them. Pray that you'll bless their labours. We're conscious, even through the death of this pastor, of such opposition to the message of the gospel. And our prayer, Father, is that you would be with your servants there. And we pray that there will be an advancing. And we pray that there will be a building of the church of Jesus Christ. Remember the Reverend Alvarez in Madrid at this time of grief and bereavement. Think of members of his family that are still out of Christ. Pray that you'd speak to them even through the death of the Reverend Alvarez, his father. And Lord, draw near and comfort your servant and the whole family circle. And we pray that the work in Madrid will continue to know the blessing of God resting upon it. We rejoice in all that you've done there for your servants, even over the years. So, Father, hear our prayers. We commit the meeting to thee now, praying that you'll be with us, praying that you'll come and lead the way and give us help in all we do. Answer these our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're turning in the scriptures for our scripture reading tonight to the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts, the 17th chapter. This chapter brings us in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul to the great city of Athens, to Paul's ministry on Mars Hill. So it's Acts 17, verse 22. We'll commence the reading just there. And we're going to read together down to the close of the chapter, just at verse 34. So Acts 17, verse 22. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts.
Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God wink at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. Amen. We'll end there, just the close of the 17th chapter. And we pray the Lord's blessing to be upon this, the public reading of his word. We take a moment just to welcome you all earnestly to our evening gospel service. We thank you for coming. We're very glad of your presence. Thankful for your fellowship. Pray the Lord will bless us in his house this evening. And we pray the Lord will bless the gospel services as they recommence in weeks to come, that we'll know the Lord's hand upon them in a very clear way, in a very definite manner. The Lord will pour out his blessing upon us. Remember the meetings in the incoming week, Wednesday at 8, the midweek service. We encourage you to come. We had a good meeting last Wednesday night, a good turnout for the missionary deputation. Come again this Wednesday evening. We'd be glad of your presence. Remember the importance of praying for the circumstances in our land just at this time. I hope to be here to speak at that meeting on Wednesday evening myself. Next Lord's Day, the 30th of May, the meeting's at the usual times, 11:30 and 6:30, both here in the church building. Remember that little Martha Lawson will be dedicated during the morning service, and we're looking forward to that. The annual offering for the Whitfield College will be taken at both services next Sabbath day. As with all those special offerings, just at present, put the gift in an envelope, mark it for the college, place it on the plate as you're leaving the services. And do remember the students as they sit their summer examinations over these next 3 weeks or so. They would appreciate that very much. Remind the children of the FPC Kids Sunday School. There's a change in the broadcast time. They're now going out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And just to say, we're very glad to see quite a good number of children and young people out in the service tonight. We appreciate you all coming to share with us in our gospel service this evening as well. Remember the Children's Day meeting's 2 weeks' time. Our brother, Mr. Philip Harton from Bethany, will be coming down to speak at both of those meetings. Make that known and encourage others to come. Keep in mind the drive-in meetings over the summertime, 6:30 in the evening. Down at Woodview, we appreciate the Hutchison family granting us the use of their premises there. And God willing, those meetings will be starting on Sunday evening, the 20th of June. So again, make those known. Think of others that you could invite to come along with you, and pray that the Lord will use those meetings mightily. The missionary offering on Wednesday night past for Brother Mr. Robert McConnell came to £508. We appreciate your generosity. If you didn't have an opportunity to give to that offering, you still can do that. And do remember that our brother's latest prayer card is also available. There's the special memorial service on Friday night for the Reverend Wesley Graham. A year on Wednesday past, from our brother was promoted to higher service. That's going to be held in his home church down in Bangor. Remember, there's only a limited number that can attend, so it's going to be live streamed for the wider denomination to be able to watch. The Reverend Harris is to be the speaker. We will put that advert, you did see it before the meeting, on the screens here, but we will put it up on the Facebook page in the incoming week. Remember to take a look at the literature. The Vision magazine is there, and a few more copies of that booklet, Where is Europe Heading? And the appeals that have been made, just to highlight those for you, for the mission board and the new radio station in Nepal. There's leaflets with the details of the plans for that new radio station. It's quite an undertaking for them. It's something the LTBS board has been praying about, planning for quite some time. So they need about £30,000 to invest in that, to be able to get it off the ground, hence the appeal that's being made. So do take the leaflet. And if you'd like to give to either of those, again, just put it on the plate, or you can alternatively send directly to either to the mission board or to LTBS yourself. I believe those are all the announcements we need to highlight to you. There's going to be a hymn played for us, a lovely gospel hymn, My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. We'll ask the men if they would play that great hymn for us just at this time, please. We're going to turn in the scriptures together, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. It's the 17th chapter. I'll direct you to the words of the text, and then we'll have a wee word of prayer together. So it's Acts chapter 17, and the words of verse 30 are our text this evening. Well, the scriptures tell us, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So especially the words at the end of the verse, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, that we're going to consider together in the gospel. So let's just have a brief word of prayer together. Father, we do lift our hearts to thee in prayer. We're conscious that we need the help of God. We need thy help, Father, especially when we come to pray. Thank you for being with us in the service already this evening. We pray for the blessing of God upon the remainder of this meeting. You have told us in your word it pleaseth thee by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And Lord, we thank you for this house open for the preaching of your word. We ask thee to bless the message that will go forth. We pray that you'll use the word of God tonight. We pray that it will come with great power. We just ask, Father, that you'll give to us, even an Emmaus Road experience tonight, that our hearts might burn within us while you talk with us by the way. We do remember, Father, other lands in great darkness. We remember the plans to commence that radio station in Nepal. Guide the LTBS board. Thank you for the vision that they have. We think, Father, of the great financial needs. We bring that before thee. We remember that you finance your own will. Thou art Jehovah Jireh. And Lord, we ask thee to bless that project. We pray that very soon that radio station will be airing programs all across that great Kathmandu Valley. We think of the millions of people that live in that region. And Lord, our prayer is that it will be the means of bringing many to Christ, turning many from darkness even to the light of the gospel. So Lord, hear our prayers, and we ask you to do that in our meeting tonight as well, and do that in this city. We pray there will be some that the glorious light of the gospel will shine into their darkened hearts and souls even this very night. So answer, Father, these are prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The theme in the gospel tonight is that you need to repent. That's really the message, a summary of the message that Paul is preaching here in this text of scripture. And we pray that the Spirit of God might come and apply that to hearts in this gospel service tonight. Philip Henry, who was the father of the famous Bible commentator Matthew Henry, Philip Henry said of a colleague, a man that was a good friend of his, Mr. Dodd, that he was called by many others Faith and Repentance. It was a sort of a nickname that they'd given to him. The reason for that was because he was always preaching those two great gospel themes of faith and repentance, and how important they are. Philip Henry himself said if he died in the pulpit, he would want to die preaching repentance, and if he died out of the pulpit, he would want to die practicing repentance. And that sums it up for us very well indeed. In the meeting tonight, we want to preach, we want to speak upon the gospel doctrine of repentance. And I want to urge you, if you've never done it before, I want to urge you tonight with all my heart to repent of your sins. Remember that repentance is a central theme of the gospel message. There are over 50 references to repentance in the New Testament scriptures alone. So that teaches us, it shows to us, that this was a key note of all the New Testament preaching, of all the evangelism that was done in the days of the New Testament church. Think of John the Baptist, his great message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Think of our Saviour, when he was here on earth, he said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance
in his ministry, the call to repentance was sounded out clearly and regularly. Think of Peter preaching in Jerusalem. He said, "Repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And here we have the Apostle Paul on Mars Hill in Athens, declaring the same truth, the same doctrine, that God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So the scriptures are clear, men and women. It is the duty of the sinner to repent of their sins. This is a vital part of the gospel message. Unsaved people are continually commanded to repent of their sins. And I want to plead with you to do that in this gospel service tonight. There's some questions about repentance that we'll consider and seek to give the answer of the scriptures to. You'll notice, first of all, think of the question, what is repentance? What does it mean? What does repentance involve? Well, can I point out that repentance is not regret. It's not remorse for wrongs that have been done. Repentance is not being sorry. You can't be sorry and not repent. It does include sorrow for sin. It's good to be sorry when you've sinned against God. But repentance is more than that. It's much more than being sorry for your sins. Repentance is not being convicted. Remember that conviction is when a soul is troubled, when a person is concerned about their sin. And it's always good to see that, those that are convicted under the preaching of the gospel. But you can be convicted and still not repent of your sins. You think of Felix. He's a great illustration of that fact. The Bible says of Felix that he trembled. Remember, as Paul was testifying there in Caesarea, Felix trembled. He was deeply troubled about his soul. But there's no record that Felix ever came to Christ in salvation. So none of these things are true biblical repentance. So let's think of the question. You ask, what is repentance? Well, repentance is to have done with your sin, and to have done with your sin once and for all, so as to turn from your sin and to forsake it completely. And I want to encourage you to take that in, take that to heart tonight. One of the best illustrations of repentance that I've ever found was a little story about a Sunday school class. The teacher asked the children just to get their response, to gauge their understanding. The teacher asked the children, what does it mean to repent, or what is meant by repentance? A little boy said it meant to be sorry for your sins. And that's good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. A little girl in the class said it's to be sorry enough to want to quit with your sins. And that sums it up. There you have it, in the simplest of terms, men and women. Think of what Isaiah the prophet said. Let the wicked forsake his way. Note there the word forsake. In other words, be completely finished with your sinful life, your sinful ways, your sinful practices. Ezekiel the prophet said, turn ye, turn ye. And repentance is a complete turning away from sin. You think of soldiers on the parade ground, and the command is given to do an about turn. And that's the command that God gives in the gospel. That's the call that goes out, the call to repentance that's been given to sinners. The Lord says, turn ye. He wants you to do an about turn. Go in the opposite direction entirely. Don't run after sin, as you have been doing, but he wants you to run away from sin. So, unconverted person, this is what God is calling you to do. This is what the Lord wants you to do in the gospel service tonight. Turn from your sins. Forsake it completely. And I wonder, will you do that? Do that tonight before you leave the house of the Lord. So what is repentance? Think as well of the question, who should repent? And the text says, all men everywhere. There are no exceptions, men and women. No one here is excluded. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how you've lived in the past. The reality tonight is you need to repent of your sins. The text couldn't be clearer. You think of the breadth of it. All men, everywhere, to repent. It's not that some men need to repent. It's not that most. It's not that heathen men, those that are in heathen darkness. It doesn't say that just the worst of men and women should repent. The apostle says that all men, everywhere, should repent. So that means you. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a prince or a pauper, whether you're moral or immoral, whether you're a Catholic or Protestant, which side of the divide, which of those categories that you fall into, the reality tonight is you need to repent of your sins. The American evangelist, Dr. L.R. Scarborough, preaching in a gospel service one night on this very subject, urging upon the congregation the importance of repentance. After the meeting, a young lady came up to see him. She said, "I was brought up in a Christian home. I've gone to Sunday school. I've gone to church all my life. I've lived a good life. I don't need to repent." And perhaps that's what you think, as you sit in the service this evening. You're saying that repentance is for the thieves and for the murderers, for the harlots, for those who have committed the vilest of sins, the vilest of crimes. They need to repent and turn from their sins. But I don't need to do that. But the reality is that you do. The text says, all men, everywhere. Whenever Paul was summing up his ministry at Ephesus, this is what he said to the people, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, the Jews and the Greeks. The Greeks there he's referring to the Gentiles. So in other words, what Paul is saying in testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, he says it doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It's the same message for all. You must repent of your sins. So that means, my friend tonight, that you must repent. You're included in this call to repentance as well. Peter Cartwright, way back at the beginning of the 19th century, he was what they would have described at that time in the United States as a circuit riding preacher. He was a noted evangelist, very forthright. He didn't hold back in any way. Preaching in a Methodist church in Nashville way back in the year 1818. And just as he was commencing the service, General Andrew Jackson came into the meeting. General Jackson, of course, later became President Andrew Jackson, maybe 10 or 11 years later. Cartwright, in his message that day in the Methodist church, very forthrightly said, if Andrew Jackson doesn't repent, he'll go to hell for all eternity. He was very bold, wasn't he? But his message was clear. Even the general had to turn from his sins if he wanted to escape the fires of the lost eternity. High office, high position in life did not exclude him. So the message was clear. It's clear to us, even as we think of that story. The reality is, if you don't repent, you'll go to a lost eternity as well. There's no other way, men and women, of escaping a lost eternity. So what is repentance, and who should repent? Think of one other question, and that is, when should you repent? The text says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When should you turn from your sins? Well, the answer of the scripture is now, immediately, tonight, even as you sit in this very gospel service. There is a lot of talk. Sometimes you hear people refer to a deathbed repentance. You might glibly and carelessly say, I will repent at the last. I will repent when I'm on my deathbed. Can I say to you tonight, men and women, if that's what you're thinking, that is folly. in the extreme. If you're thinking along those lines, there's some things you need to consider, some things that you need to remember. For one thing, remember that multitudes don't have what we describe as a deathbed. Death for many people is unexpected. Death for many is sudden, taken away in a moment, in an instant. Think of what Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He's referring there to sudden death, the grim reaper coming and just quickly, suddenly cutting that person down. Think of natural disasters that sometimes take place. You remember the tsunamis that we heard about in the news. We saw the devastating effects. People taken away quickly. No time to repent. No time to be saved. So multitudes don't have a deathbed. Think as well that many that do have a deathbed still don't repent of their sins. In fact, at least 50% of the people that have a deathbed don't repent. You think of the great scripture, an example of that, the two thieves on the cross with the Saviour. One repented, but the other didn't. Remember that he's often forgotten. And I want you to get the message clearly tonight that's set forth, the lesson, the warning from that story. At least half the people who are given a deathbed don't turn from their sins. You think of it like this. If you're not interested in salvation now, tonight, why do you think you'll be any more interested in salvation when you reach the end of your life and you're going out into eternity? Do you remember what the Bible says of Pharaoh, the great king of Egypt? That he hardened his heart even when he saw the power of God, even when he heard the voice of the prophet, even when he witnessed the miracles that were performed by the prophets before him. He hardened his heart against God. And every time you reject the gospel message, every time you go on in your sin, you will do exactly the same thing. So many that have a deathbed don't repent. Another thing you need to consider is that many deathbed conversions are false. They're false professions. They're not a genuine repentance. Down our country, quite a few years ago, there was an accountant. He was told by the doctor that he was going to die, had only a short time to live. Got very alarmed about that. He sent for a Christian, a man that he knew that was one of his clients. And he said to that Christian man that he wanted to get saved. The Christian man, sitting at his deathbed, sitting at the side of his bed, opened the scriptures and led him to the Lord. But that man was never really saved. You ask, how do I know? How can we say that? Well, for this reason. The man got better. He defied the prognosis of the doctors. He recovered from his illness, was restored to health and strength, but there was absolutely no change in his life. He lived exactly as before, the same godless, wicked life. You think of what John the Baptist said, we're to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And that man had none, no evidence, no fruit of conversion in his life. So be warned, men and women, many deathbed conversions are shallow, false, and empty. And I'll stress this to you as well, very important in the context of the subject. You may not always have a clear mind on your deathbed. The New Testament talks about a sound mind. That's a great blessing. That's something we should thank the Lord for. We sometimes talk about a sound body and a sound mind. Those are great blessings from the hand of God. But remember this, you may not always have a sound mind. At the end of your life, that can be taken from you, as often happens, as is often the case. The result of that is you can't remember. You can't remember a thing. You can't remember a person. how very sad that is. And remember, if that were to happen to you, then you couldn't talk sense. You couldn't think. You wouldn't be able to listen. You wouldn't be able to recall the truths, the scriptures that you were taught, impressed upon your heart. And if that was the case, then I ask you, how would you repent then? How would you turn to Christ in those circumstances? What a warning, men and women. Listen again to the great exhortation, the sobering words of the text. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When should you turn? When should you repent of your sins? The answer of the word of God is tonight. Right now. While you still have time. While you still have opportunity. While you still can. And while you're still able. So I put the question to you all tonight. Have you ever repented truly? Turned from your sins? If not, then I want to urge you to do it tonight. Do it in the meeting. Do it before you go from the house of God this evening. Remember, as one of old summed it up, every day you live, that's one more day to repent of. And it's one less day to repent in. And that's a solemn thought. That should speak to your heart tonight as well. Let me just emphasize in closing, remember that repentance is not optional. It's not something that you can take or leave. This is something, men and women, that is absolutely essential to your salvation. If you ever hope to be saved, if you ever hope to be in heaven. Repentance is an imperative, it's a must. You must repent of your sin. The Lord Jesus taught that in the clearest of terms during his earthly ministry. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." There is no other way, men and women. The reality is, if you don't repent, then you'll meet with the judgment of God. If you don't turn from your sins, then you'll perish. You'll perish in hell for all eternity. So you need to repent of your sin. That's the message of this text of Scripture that the Apostle Paul declared on Mars Hill those many years ago. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I pray the Lord will bless his word to every heart tonight. We invite you to take, or we're going to, there's the old habits again, we're turning to the hymn 232. It's in keeping with our message, O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days, and he called thee in sorrow and pain. And think of the words of the chorus, O turn, while the Saviour in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light, for how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. We'll leave out the second verse, verses 1, 3 and 4, and we're keeping our seats as we sing together, please. Thank you. Let's just pray together as we close. Gracious Father, we thank you for our meeting tonight. We thank you that we have thy word. We praise thee for the blessing of the scriptures. We thank you, Father, for giving to us the greatest story ever told, the best news ever declared to mankind. We thank you for the good news of the love of God for sinners such as we. We thank you, Father, for the day that you brought us to Christ. You gave to us the gift of repentance. And Lord, we ask thee to bless the word of God that has gone forth tonight. We pray that you'll use the message that has been proclaimed in this meeting. Use even the broadcast and the recordings of this meeting. We ask, Father, that you'll give to us souls. We want to pray that there will be signs following the preaching of your word. And Lord, even as we think of the need for a sinner to repent, we're crying, Father, that there might be even national repentance in this day in which we live. We're praying that it will please thee to turn our land again unto thyself. Lord, we think of the godlessness all around, no fear of God before their eyes. We remember what you did in Nineveh those many years ago when you turned the whole city to God from the least, even to the greatest, one of the greatest stories of revival ever recorded. And Lord, we believe today that you're the same God that gives us hope and confidence and assurance even for our own land for coming days. And Lord, we ask thee to be gracious to us, be merciful to us. Hear these our prayers. We commit ourselves to thee for this week. Guide us through the week. Let us know the presence of God. Lead us, Father, every day. Lead us to those in need of a word for Christ. And Lord, we ask thee, use us each one even as soul winners. Hear these our prayers. And we ask thee now to part us from this meeting in thy fear and with thy favour. And we pray that from the youngest to the oldest, that each one of us will know the blessing of God that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. We pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.